Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. Well, Super Bowl, Super Browns.
Ken, we were in the hunt.
Yeah.
We were in the hunt. Thursday night, they put up the graphic. We were in the hunt.
Guys, I'm fighting it.
It's fun while it lasted.
I'm fighting it. I'm fighting it. You know, the accountability thing plays in, and then I go, if they're 3-9 now, what's it going to do? I mean, what's the bloodlust really going to do? Like, I'm fighting it right now. I usually I know what I want to say after these things. I'm fighting. Like, I told you, there comes a time where I'm not going to sit there and I don't want to turn into one of these old radio guys who just dump on everything and become cynical about everything. And then anything good happens, I'm not even going to like pretend to enjoy it because all I do is live in my own misery. I don't know how you go through. I don't know if you go through this. This is just what I go through emotionally any time these losses happen. But at the same time, I also don't want to turn into somebody who becomes apathetic towards this and just like stands by and just like whatever it happens. Because again, I think that having a pro football team is a special thing. Having pro sports is a special thing, and people deserve to have their pro sports and deserve to have a team that they like. And this is just not likable right now. It is the blind leading the blind, and everything has an explanation of or an excuse of something that's just it's like the best way I drive it in to describe it, like to put it in any terms of business. The results aren't there, and we keep finding these ways to say it's better than what we think it is, and it's not. You're 3-9. I mean, I don't know what to do. Do we know about the UCLA job yet? Because that might be a conversation we have to have later on today or tomorrow. We'll see how that one goes. I'm fighting it. I found myself more angry at you last night than I did anything else, and I said, that's a problem. That's a real problem because I felt that you didn't even care and I saw your tweets and I don't want to get in a fight with you over this. Okay. They lost. You didn't lose. But I saw your tweets. I go, he's just trolling everybody. And everybody's tweeting me, go, come get your boy. And I go, he's clearly had a few drinks and now he's just bothering all you guys and you're allowing it to happen. And now I'm just mad at him because I have to answer for this. And I go, he's bored. You guys are bored. Why the hell should I care? And we're just saying things that aren't even realistic. We're saying things that aren't realistic. And so we'll do 4 hours of surreal stuff, and then we'll just march on and get ready for the next one. And the next one, they could actually win because it's Tennessee. I don't know if they will. It seems that everybody on their defense got hurt yesterday, but I'm sure we'll talk ourselves. I will talk myself into it, not us. I will talk myself into it by the time Wednesday comes around. And there we are. So there's plenty to get into, but now I'm at the point. See, we've reached this point where if I say, if you let go of anybody, what's it going to save? Well, then I'm making excuses for inept coaching. If I say, get rid of everybody, then what's that going to do as far as fixing any of this? Because you're 3-9. It's over. The season is done. The only thing that I'm trying to do is evaluate whether or not you got a quarterback, whether or not you got several other positions. Jerry Jeudy and his next meltdown, which seems like it's coming any moment. Like, all that stuff is still there. But as far as like, well, we got to get rid of this guy or cut that guy to save the season. There ain't nothing to save. There ain't nothing to save. And the whole conversation, well, if we would have started Shador sooner, I don't think that's realistic. So now I'm just stuck handcuffed in this spot where you're 3-9. We're getting ready for the march. I got the envelope. I got the list right here. I'm just getting ready for it to all happen.
Yeah, it's
because
funny.
There's just nothing more that you can do about this.
And just kind of scanning some of the opinions nationally, they're just assuming your head coach is getting fired at some point. That's like just the assumption. And then there's a lot of questions about Andrew Berry, whether or not they'd be tethered in that scenario. But I don't see a lot of people that think Stefanski is going to live through this. A lot of people just don't even think he wants Shador Sanders to begin with, that, you know, he doesn't feel like that there's clearly no, I mean, they basically yesterday only let Shador throw screen passes.
Well, what I don't understand is this, is you can't, I mean, we'll turn it, I'm sure this, it always goes to a Shador discussion because he's the only guy we have to really look forward to anything to. So sorry, guys. Like, I know that Carson Schlesinger's good and a couple other guys are good, like, but if they haven't proven it to you, if you don't even at least have decent quarterback play like we don't, we're dead in the water. We're just dead in the water. He didn't get enough practice, so you were nervous about him going in. They've seemed to try to take care of him the first couple of weeks. Now we're mad because we didn't let him throw the ball all over the yard yesterday? Guys, you got to pick a road. That's not the same thing. That's completely diametrically opposed to what you said last week. We got to remain honest about this. Because when you turn them loose, you could say, guys, by the way, the out's right there. Your wide receivers are terrible. Your wide receivers are garbage. So you could look around and say, well, he's looking around. He can't find nobody. Hey, fair point. His wide receivers in the Big 12 were better than what he has in the pros. Maybe even his college wide receivers, apparently. And I'm not just talking about Travis Hunter, for crying out loud. So there is a reason, an actual reason to it. But you see when he puts everything, and I think he got caught in this moment, and maybe you feel differently. He's trying to throw a touchdown on every pass. And I know I've said that about other quarterbacks on this football team before, which sucks because now I just have to keep repeating myself because history repeats itself. But you saw that, like, they were sitting there and I'm listening to Nathan and Andrew, and Nathan's like, we got to pass. You're down 2 scores. You got to pass. And I'm like, yeah, you got to pass. But now he's just trying to throw a touchdown on every single one because these guys aren't open. He's not seeing the whole field. There's not a lot of experience there. And if you keep everything in front of you, you can conduct an offense. But if you have to come back from behind, you're going to put each other in a bad spot. And that's what they did. Everybody put each other in a bad spot. Well, excuse me. I don't think the defense put anybody in the bad spot. Special teams is as bad as I've ever seen. You have actual football coaches going, what are the lanes here? Coach Lance, what are these lanes that they're in? This is not what you coach. So I don't know what the hell Bubba Ventrone's doing here, except he has a nickname that people seem to like. Other than that, I don't think it's going to fix anything. Even by firing the guy, what's it going to fix? Other than it's going to make you feel a little bit better. See, that's where I'm stuck at.
Oh, they missed.
You've reached the point past accountability,
they've
Tone.
Had this like the third or fourth game special teams just cost them.
You're so right.
They missed that.
You're right.
We had the accountability discussion and all I heard from so many people was, well, what does it do? What does it do? What does it do? What does it do?
It could have done something back there. It can't do anything now.
Like
you were right.
This is the team that never benches, cuts, or fires anybody.
You were right.
That has any direct impact on games, and so nobody takes it seriously. And so now we're to the point where the only thing I could think of was that ownership would call down to either the GM or the coach and say, are you getting rid of this guy or not? because that was humiliating. That was the special teams plays that you're just not seeing around the league. Like, yeah, you see muff punts, but guys that don't know whether they're supposed to have the foot planted out of bounds or not seems to be a pretty textbook thing. We had a former defensive coordinator that was on it when it came to that.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought. Like, Jimmy Haslam has seen that play. And at least, what did you think? Did you think he was kind of fumbling in his mind?
Which one? Giving up punt returns to Sky Moore? The one at the 5-yard line are you talking about? Because you could take your pick of bad special teams, and you could take your pick of bad special teams all throughout the game. So what, you want to go through what was in his... it looked like he lost track of where the hell he was.
Well, on the radio,
Did he think he had five more feet to work with on the sideline?
Nathan was breaking it down that these guys are taught to have one foot out there, and he kind of got caught in the middle, like, oh, shoot, I was supposed to have my foot out, because then we would have gotten great field position, and instead we have the worst field position. And that was the one thing you can't have in that game, is really bad field position, because it just blows up an entire game in your face. So you saw the average starting field position for the two teams was totally opposite. So it was one team that was on top of special teams and the other that completely was not.
Yeah, which then goes right, flies right in my face, where I got emotional about it. And when it comes to the fourth down, I wanted to go for the fourth down. But at the same time, like, your guys aren't even lined up. So you got guys who aren't even lined up. You had Harold Fan in there. Okay, you've done things with tight ends before. Other teams do things with other players taking snaps before.
Well, Fannin is involved in a lot of their short yardage stuff.
You're right. But they don't have anybody lined up. And you continue to run the play anyway. It becomes a cavalcade of errors. Then you give them the ball, and I'm thinking, well, if it is that much of a field goal, if it's a field goal, if it's a field position type of game, then did you not call the timeout because you didn't want to talk yourself out of going for it on fourth down? Is that it? Because there's no rules here. You could always call the timeout and then just go for it on fourth down. If you wouldn't have made it, it would have made it bad. But you know what? Still fumbling the snap and then giving them the ball at your, 23-yard line wasn't going to be much better anyway. It was a 10-8 football game. You could have punted it out of there. It took them 9 plays to get into the end zone after that. It is fair to say you possibly would have stopped them and been able to force another punt instead of putting your defense back there at the 20. And then later on, when you're muffing punts and when you're catching the ball at the 5-yard line and stepping out of bounds, like, Tone, let me say this again. You should do Champions Pose. You were right. See, this is the issue that I'm saying, and you crystallize it best, is that if you would have had accountability back there, like when November came around, you might have been able to, quote unquote, save something here. Now it's past the point of saving. So what good does it do to now have that accountability with 5 games left in the season? Just to make me feel better? Because I don't think it's going to make any bit of a difference on the field. Is it just going to make, you'll feel good about it on Monday if they were to go, hey, Bubba Ventrone's been let go. And then by Wednesday, you're going, what are we going to do against Tennessee? Like, it's not going to do anything. So you were right. You were so correct. And that's my problem. If I just say, what's it matter? Well, then, you know, guys, you just don't care. No, I do care. I care way more than I probably should. And I think you do the same in so many ways. But, God, you were so right. If you just hold people accountable in October and November, you don't have this malaise that I feel on December 1st where I'm going, yeah, fire him. Okay, Bubba Ventrone's gone. Is that going to solve your issues with your offense? Is that going to solve the other issues you have with your special teams? Is all of a sudden Gage Larvidan not going to fumble the ball? Which I felt bad. He obviously felt terrible about it. So I didn't want to like beat him up too much about it. It's just this. It's this whole thing that mixes in, and you're 3-9. And the worst part about it is that, guys, you look around the division and go, you know what? Nathan was right during the broadcast. If you played somewhat decent special teams, you might be right there in the thick of the AFC North right now.
Yeah, all-time bad division that could have been up for grabs for anybody. In fact, Cincinnati's only 2 games back. How incredible is that?
They're 4-8?
Like, this is just as bad as this. This was a dream come true. If I would have told you coming into the season that this was Pittsburgh's situation, this is Baltimore's situation, and this was the Bengals. And here they are, completely out of it. You know, no chance. Like, yeah, we're the only injection of energy at all was, hey, let's see what Shador has. But if the weather is going to be like this, and it seems like we have the worst weather games in the NFL for other than Buffalo for like the 10th straight year, which probably has something to do with them getting a dome. Because that wasn't exactly exciting, awesome, entertaining football yesterday. and very few of their games are. They drag other teams into the muck. They drag otherwise entertaining teams into really unwatchable football where it was a field position turnover game, and that was it. That was it. And then the fourth and one, the only thing I guess I would ask is, I joked on Twitter that did Josina talk them into having to have Shador on the field? Because the whole point of the Wildcat with Judkins is that you have everybody blocking for one guy. In this case, Shador is out there, doesn't have to be accounted for when they see Fannin go under center.
Well,
and the other thing is, like, that's the thing when you don't have a veteran quarterback. Last week, if you remember during the Pittsburgh Steeler game, Aaron Rodgers, when he was on the bench.
I thought you were referencing something.
He had mouthed, like, oh, that's an illegal formation. Like, he could see that the Steelers had lined up wrong, and he mouthed illegal formation, and then the officials called it. In this case, you had Wyatt Teller, right, running onto the field late, 10 seconds left. That's just an automatic timeout. Like, I think a veteran quarterback or a good head coach that is on it is like, well, that's a timeout. I know we don't like to use second half timeouts, but that's the game. You're giving the team the ball at the 35-yard line. That's timeout. Like, what are we? We're not rushing this play. We've practiced it all week. I imagine they practiced that short yardage play at least five times, right? Is that when you do your special short yardage stuff? Are they doing that 5-10 times? So
I don't know how they. I don't know how they block.
So, like, a veteran quarterback or a coach that's on it is like, no, we don't have the right personnel. We're not messing with this. This is the game. And they didn't. He fumbled it. It didn't matter anyway. They were never getting the play. I was hoping they would look back and say, oh, we didn't get the playoff. 5-yard penalty. Now we're forced to punt. Because that would have been the best option of all. Best outcome of all.
Well, then you still don't have your... Because I would like to say, well, then you still don't have your guys ready, which is still a failure on coaching. It was still a failure on coaching. I mean, it was punting it out of there and then playing defense and maybe still getting the ball back at 10-8 would have been better than what happened. So it's you might have had to admit something there at the end, but if you would have won the game, it would have been a little bit easier on you because you were in a position where you could have won the game. Then you were in a position you could not win the game because you left it to special teams, and special teams let you down, and then you had to put a quarterback who's just not ready for that spot yet. Sorry, guys. He's not ready for that yet. You had put him in a position where he had to try to throw a touchdown on every pass. He felt that way. 216-474-0092. All right, I'm going to get to you guys on this. I'm fighting it. I'm really, really fighting the malaise. If I'm that mad about fighting the malaise, then maybe I don't have the malaise yet. Maybe that I should look at it as a positive thing. Is the reality starting to set in about a certain somebody else, too? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lyman, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a downtown double whammy yesterday in Cleveland. We had a mess at the stadium. Huntington Bank Field was not a pleasant place to be. And the Cavaliers throwing one away against the Boston Celtics. Or at least not coming back to win it. Well, we'll talk about that a bit today, but the Browns obviously dominating conversation. Welcome, everybody. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin.
It was a pleasant place to be because there were 40% Niners fans there yesterday that absolutely loved everything they were watching. And otherwise, it was a bunch of empty orange seats yesterday. And I cannot imagine what this week's game is going to look like at home. You might be able to buy your own section. I get it. The weather was bad.
The Tennessee Titans aren't a draw?
I don't think so, Jeff. I'm going
Jim
out
Ray
on a
DK,
limb.
Tough wide receiver, man. I like him.
Going out on a limb and saying this is not going to be a jam-packed stadium. It'll be easy to get tickets this week if you're
you
looking.
You think so?
The Browns fans that were there yesterday were great. I mean, they really were. And you know, they were rooting on their team as much as they possibly could. It was just a bad game, bad special teams. Bad defensive stand at the end of the first half. A lot of bad things. And the worst part about it was going home at night and watching TV and seeing that the Bengals with four wins are in the hunt, meaning that all you had to do was show up for one of these games with special teams throughout the season and you'd still at least, I mean, I'm not talking about being in the playoffs, but I do think our defense, with the exception of that one drive yesterday, is worthy of being in the playoffs. And it's really frustrating week after week after week when one phase of the game costs them the game all the time with stupid plays, and special teams yesterday hit the height of stupidity.
Because of special team errors and what I think was a bad decision, the three touchdown drives for the San Francisco 49ers, the three touchdown drives, six plays, 16 yards.
I didn't think of it in that perspective.
Hold on. Nine plays, 32 yards, six plays, 18 yards. The three scoring drives for the 49ers, touchdown drives, 16, 32, and 18 yards. Good night, everybody.
Amen. It's just,
you're not going to win games, Andy, when you give them fields that are that short.
Nope, not at all.
And 16, 32, and 18 yards. Touchdown drafts.
No, I love Harold Fannin, but why is he the guy run? Why is he the guy running the sneak? It's like,
can I throw this at you?
Yeah,
they used to do it with Harrison Bryant. When it worked, everybody loved it.
But you've had proven success with other players on this. So,
well, not in that situation.
Were we catching them off guard? And by the way, you got offensive linemen. What do we have? Two offensive linemen on that play that aren't normally a part of that. You're trying to run a play on a short week where you barely had practice last week either. I'll tell you the other thing is I didn't think they were prepared yesterday. They didn't seem prepared to play yesterday, and why not? I mean, they earned that day off on Monday, right? Three wins. And then what do you do? It's Thanksgiving week. You're not, you know, I mean, how much are you actually practicing last week? They were not prepared yesterday to win. They were not prepared for an NFL football game yesterday.
I don't have a problem with the Fannin the play call. I have a problem with going for it there. You were down by 2 points, and you went for it on your own 33. You were down two. That was it. Two-point game. You're right. You're right in it. Punt. Your defense had been good. Punt the ball away and play field position.
Man, if you can't get one yard, though.
I don't get it. Yeah, but you're on your own 32. They're 33-yard
line.
They're
a three-win team. They have nothing to lose. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yes, you did. You know what you had to lose?
Well, they're
yesterday's
out of the hunt.
Football game.
Yeah, they're out of the hunt.
Yeah. You trust your defense, the only thing that's trustworthy on this football team, and you let them try and stop them. That's what you do. I for the life of me do not understand that. If you were down by, 25 points, it was a 2-point game, and you went for it on your own 33. At the very least, you were handing them 3 points if you don't get it. The Fannin play call, if you're going to put a guy under center, you can put a tight end under center. They've done that before, and it's worked. I would have, first of all, I just wouldn't have gone for it. Quinshon out of the Wildcat for a yard, maybe.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Shadur on a quarterback sneak. Okay?
I'll buy that.
Right. But Fannin is bigger, stronger. I understand
it. How about Myles Garrett on the 1 yard? Just hand him the ball. Let him go for it.
He just fumbled it. Fannin just fumbled the ball. So that's the way that worked. We've said this repeatedly.
And by the way, because it was fourth down, can I ask you this? They showed a replay. I thought he recovered the ball. For whatever it's worth, they still had to give the ball up. It was fourth down.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless, it was Niner football.
It was Niner football. I get it. Yeah. They kept saying it was recovered by, and I was like, was it really? I don't. But why would you even take a look at it? There was a waste of time to.
16, 32, 18 yard touchdown drives. I do not understand going for it on fourth down. But that was just one play. The special teams mistakes were bad. I have a really hard time blaming a special teams coach for a guy not handling a punt. That said, there's just been such an accumulation of special team mistakes that that's a problem. Big picture here, Andy, to me is this, and we've said this all year long, unless the marching orders for this year were made very clear and the idea that we stuck you with a quarterback situation that just didn't work out, big swing and a miss, and because of that, we're going to go ahead and bite the bullet this year, and you guys are all good. I would be stunned if there aren't changes, big changes, at the end of the year, because teams don't survive back-to-back 3-14 and let's say 5-12. Let's say they win two more games. That's 5-12. How many regimes survive 3-14 and 5-12?
They don't.
That's right.
They don't. Most wouldn't have survived last year, Jeff.
That's right. Unless marching orders were very specific.
I don't know. I'm trying to get a gauge for, sitting in my press conference yesterday, just wondering if what's going through Kevin's mind on this stuff. I don't know what it, I mean. It's a weird spot to be in. It's a job. I get it. It's like, it's almost like you're just like, at the end of the season, you just kind of feel like, well, let's have your meeting after the Cincinnati last, right? After the Cincinnati game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's have your meeting. Well, I got to let you go. Okay, see you later. I'll take the buyout. See you later.
I
think he's going to be good somewhere else. I'm not feeling it now. Unless, you're right, Jeff, unless they said, hey, we know that we didn't rebuild the offense the way we wanted to rebuild it. We rolled
You left him with two rookie quarterbacks, neither one of whom was anybody's darling in the draft.
And then you ditch the veteran quarterbacks.
I do not think the coaching staff on the special teams and offensive side of the ball have done a very good job this year.
Cost them games, Jeff.
What I do think, though, is this. I'm not going to say that the coaching has been horrendous and that they're the reason that things are bad. I'll put it this way. I think the defense has been good.
Second best in the NFL into yesterday's game.
This isn't about the defense. The coaching on the offensive side of the ball has not been good enough to overcome a terrible offensive roster. It hasn't been good enough to overcome that. Quinshon Judkins. Nice. That's worked.
Yes.
Harold Fannin looks like a guy who's coming along. I like Harold. Mm-hmm. I don't care for any of the wide receivers. I like Cedric Tillman's potential, but they've not done anything there. And the offensive line has had real issues this year because of age, injury, and overall ineffectiveness. Now, that said, Browns put together a 90-yard touchdown drive yesterday. 10 plays. First 9 plays were runs.
Well, they didn't give Shadur. I mean, the play calling in the second half did not lean towards whoever the quarterback was passing the ball a lot. They ran the ball a lot in the second half.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I mean, if you're going to take the ball out of the hands of the quarterback to try to make a play, I get it. It was a little windy yesterday, but there's no excuse. It was windy for both teams.
Shadur was okay yesterday.
The touchdown pass he did throw yesterday I thought was really nice.
Yeah, it was a really nice play.
I still don't, I'm at the point now where I don't even know if you're getting a full, if you're getting a full look at your starting quarterback, it should understand. At least he came out yesterday and said he's our starter and again next week. And we're like, okay, duh, no brainer.
He didn't say he's the starter for the rest of the year.
No, he just said for next week. Mm-hmm. So,
which, okay. I think he looks more intriguing to me than Dylan Gabriel, but not by much. And right now, if you had to say, should they go get a new quarterback next year? Absolutely, they should. I don't think next year's quarterback is on this team right now. I hope that changes in the next five games. I hope we see some things that make me think differently and probably make most of us think differently about that. But right now, the offense just needs major work.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, you're probably looking at one, two, maybe three, four guys coming. Look at the starters, Jeff, and tell me how much of that offense is going to change between now and next year. I think you're going to see a lot of new names out
Quinshon
there.
Quinshon Judkins.
Fannin. Ninjoku. If he's here.
If David's back.
Yeah.
See, that's the point.
If he's here, like, who do you even want back?
Can't you sit here and think two guys and Dylan Sampson? I would want to keep Dylan too. He got dinged up yesterday a little bit. Those are three. Other than that, I think anybody's fair game. And I say that about Joel Bitonio only because I'm guessing that Joel will retire.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Why would you want to come back for this?
I don't know.
I don't know why Joel would want to come back.
Jack Conklin just keeps getting hurt.
Concussion yesterday.
I feel terrible for that guy, but he keeps getting hurt. So you can't bank on that. You rotated Wyatt Teller and Tevin Jenkins at right guard yesterday.
What was that about?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they want to get a look at Tevin Jenkins. I mean, you're getting a look at the quarterbacks.
I know.
But might as well get a look at a guy on the line. Jenkins was a second-round pick of the Bears and 6'6", like 320, 310. And maybe he can play guard. Played some tackle for the Bears, but he also played some guard for the Bears, and maybe they think he's a starting guard here next year. You're not going to be able to replace everybody. I wouldn't think you're going to have five new starters on the offensive line.
I
don't know that you want to, but.
Is Ethan definitely gone? Are you getting rid of Posick?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Why would you?
Why would you? Because the offensive line hasn't done the job that everybody thinks it should.
He's been okay at center.
If you take a look at each guy individually, Andy, it's like Jack Conklin at right tackle. Absolutely. Except he gets injured.
Yeah.
Wyatt Teller at right guard. I like Wyatt Teller. Well, then why are they rotating him with Tevin Jenkins?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Ethan Posick at center. Okay. All Joel right. Bitonio, left guard. Probably sure. If he retire. Wants to play again, sure. Yeah. Why not? Offensive linemen playing to their late 30s. And then who's playing left tackle? DeJuan? So look at him individually, you think, yeah, sure. Why not? Look at him as a group and you think, not quite doing the job. Except, boy, you marched the ball right downfield when you were run blocking, didn't you? Once anyway. 216-474-0092. Folks, 3-14 last year. If they win two of the final five, that's 5-12 this year. Coaching staffs, front offices don't usually survive such things. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a beautiful, blustery Monday in Cleveland, except for the Cleveland Browns, who now fall to 3-9 of the season. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How was your extended break, the holiday, everything that, was it everything you wanted it to be?
Yes, because okay, by the end of it, the Wilsons were sick of each other.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah. Like, by the end of it, by like yesterday evening, we had all had it. We all knew what our games were. We knew the tricks, and we said, okay, let's get back to work.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes me feel a lot better. On Saturday, I was at the auto body shop. I had to get a repair to my car, and it was a thing where I thought they were just going to check it out and then schedule for another day, and it was like an hour and a half in, and they're like, well, we can do it in like an hour, so we'll go ahead and do that. And I'm like, all right, you said an hour, and then it turned out to be like 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there all day long, and I'm like, I'm watching the Ohio State-Michigan game like from this auto repair shop, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Not a bad way to watch a sporting event. It's me. Nobody else. I'm just sitting here on my phone. I got peace and quiet. Not a bad thing, really.
It's pretty much not me bad. In my office every Sunday and most Saturdays. And like this week, you understand, Saturday, kids wanted to go see Wicked for good. I absolutely have nothing in any of those movies, but I love my children.
I heard it was for bad.
So it was just for worse than the original.
Okay,
I think is maybe the better way to put it. It wasn't awful, but it just wasn't as good as the original. Again, I don't like either of them, but my point is, you get where I'm going. But anyways, so I forgot, though, because I was like, wow, it's a two-hour movie. We'll get to the matinee. We'll be home right in time for kickoff. I forgot about the 30 minutes of previews. So I mistimed it by 30 minutes. So I missed, and obviously the game doesn't kick off at noon. So we're okay.
It wasn't until about like 12:15 or so.
So we really only missed like 8 minutes of the first quarter. But if there's ever any way that I can show that I love my children, that would be it. I missed the first 8 minutes of a game that every year I make sure nothing interferes with this.
Was there no earlier times?
No, we got the earliest time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. It's a questionable call at best, but you got to do what you got to do.
Now, this being said,
that was like the juicy part for Michigan, by the way. The first 8 minutes,
it really was. Yeah, it was.
It just kind of shows what kind of belief you had in the game itself.
I knew.
And I think deep down, that's kind of where I was at with it too. I think deep down, we just kind of all knew where that game was going.
Now, I don't think we knew where the San Francisco game was going, because once again, the Browns under Kevin Stefanski in 2025 have shown impressive ways to lose games.
They continue to. So yesterday was odd because it felt like everyone just wanted to yell about the special teams, and I want to yell about special teams, but I don't want to do 5 hours about yelling about special teams.
You sure?
Like, yeah, that doesn't sound like a good time to me. When I got into this business, I didn't get into this to yell about special teams for 5 hours. Bubba Ventrone sucks. Tell me what else is new. You know, what else do I need to see from this man to tell me that the special teams isn't going to be good, hasn't been good, and won't continue to be good?
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't think Bubba is an atrocious coach. Like, we've had some coaches where it's like, who is the dipstick offensive line coach?
Andy Dickerson.
The dude lasted a month on the job.
He looked like Bob Ross.
And got blown out of Cleveland.
Couldn't trust anyone with that hairstyle.
Now, there is a catch-22 here of, do they have enough special teams enforcers, aces, whatever you want to call it, or is Bubba just bad at his job? You can have that conversation. My thing is, you either coach it or you allow it. That's like the number one cliche I've heard players say to me. So at some point, it's not about Bubba Ventrone. At some point, it's not about an offensive line coach or a quarterback's coach. No, at some point, if the team keeps making the same mistakes, it's two things. One, you're not very talented, but the more damning is you're not very well coached. And that's like, I can level Andrew Berry for what he has done the last 6 years, and it has not been good enough. He's been worse at his job than Kevin Stefanski has been at his job. But specific to yesterday, well, those special teams gaffes, that's the third game this season lost single-handedly by special teams gaffes. That is no longer on Bubba Ventrone. It's the guy who says, hey, we got a lot of, I mean, we got accountability out the yin-yang, and then the team continues to go make the same mistakes.
I mean, the 49ers covered 16, 32, and 18 yards for their three touchdowns. What are you going to do in that situation? I mean, it's not as if Brock Purdy looked good in this game. It's that you gave him great field position, and then you screwed the pooch. And there are some plays I'd like to break down. There really are. Like Corley, I think that's a coaching mistake. I think not having the understanding and awareness to let the ball just go out of bounds in that moment, I don't know what else to call that but a lack of coaching there. Other things though, like Gage Larvidan, it's on the coaches, not because Gage Larvidan missed the ball. It's because why is Gage Larvidan the one that's the returning player on that kick anyway?
Mm-hmm.
He was in straight clothes 3 weeks ago, and he's the guy that's relied upon for this.
So, all right, this again, I'm not letting Bubba Ventrone off the hook, but at some point, the head coach takes victory laps within the media by saying, we don't fire people within the season because we're above that. Well, then you lose three games on special teams almost the identical same way. You have massive you have massive gigantic plays that either you're giving up or that you yourself are giving away. I'll be honest with you, the number one play that pissed me off to no end, the number one reason why it's getting harder and harder to defend Kevin Stefanski, and I say that as a guy who has bashed Kevin Stefanski the last 2 years, that 4th-and-1 call, yeah, at your own 30. That's a fireable play. It's not going to get him fired, not at least today, but going for it on 4th-and-1 in a game that is still relatively close with a quarterback who in the first half played as well as any quarterback has played this year for you. To basically take the game out of the player's hands, I thought it was the quintessential moment of galaxy braining. I don't know what the hell you were thinking. You've been playing a field position game all game long, and then you get down by what is manageable late in the game or midway through the game, and you go ahead and you go for it on 4th-and-1 on a play that, I'm sorry, logic tells you they didn't practice it because nobody looked like they knew what they were doing. That, to me, that's the play where I kind of turned on Kevin in the game and I was like, all right, Jack, what in the blue hell are you doing?
So it was the play call that I get the maddest about. It's not necessarily going for it on 4th-and-1 in that situation, because we see teams all across the NFL, they'll go for it in that situation. And we've seen the Browns go for it in that situation previously. It's the idea that you're doing a direct snap to Harold Fannin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get cute in that moment. The only way you see this mess up, like, it's such a simple thing. You just have to get a yard. It's either a Shador Sanders, you take the ball and you do it yourself, and basically you do a glorified push, or you hand the ball off to Judkins and you do it really, really quickly and you go for it. Like, but you don't do a direct snap to Fannin. That's not the time to get cute there.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I think it's the whole thing. It would have been much more defendable if they had just done the wildcat there. But the point is, the idea that the special teams had already set the defense up for failure by perpetually putting San Francisco in an ideal spot. And in fairness, an elite defense gets at least a stop there on one of the many times that San Francisco got the ball in the best possible scenario. And you didn't. So that needs to be said as well.
So what's funny, though, is this is the part where Stefanski thinks that he's actually an aggressive head coach. I think he gets confused as to what aggressive is. I think when he is throwing 5 yards, passes, he thinks that's a different version. But this, he's consistently been, in the time that he's been here, he will go for this play. We've seen him do it time and time again. They've gone for 11 4th-and-1 plays this year. Like, he lives for that. That's 7th most in the NFL. This is what he does. It's just, don't get cute in that moment.
Well, I think in cute is at the 30-yard line. If it's at the 50-yard line, I'm much more amiable to it. If it is at, if it's 10 yards down the field, for the better, I totally am fine with it. It is at your own 30 when your defense is fighting for its life out there and has been set up to fail all day long. And at some point, you have to do the players. Like, and by the way, there were moments where I'm like, oh, they're aggressive. They're trying to win this game, right? That, like, I was loading up to get so pissed at the end of the first half because I'm like, they're going to go for three. They're playing for three. And then they made the big play to Fannin, which was a non-typical play. Loved it. Uh-huh. And then you had the fourth and one. That's a very... And then at
and
other points...
the two-point conversion.
At the other points, you're playing field... It's like, no. You either are playing the field position game all game long outside of a play at the end of the first half, or you're going to let that game slip away on top of just endless gaffes on special teams. And it's not just on special teams, but predominantly on special teams.
Yeah, no, I think this is, again, it's an odd quirk of Stefanski, is that we've seen him go for this fourth and one play. We've seen him do it even on the 30 like that. It's something that he feels very strongly, and we just haven't seen him blow up in his face this way. But we've never really seen him try to get like a trick play off of it. And that, I don't even know what he thought Fannin was going to do. Was that supposed to be just a direct snap and then Fannin jump over and make his own tush push play? Is that what he was going for?
I would imagine it was just he was going to go for some low angle, get the snap, and just kind of wedge his way in there.
We've never seen Fannin do that. Is the problem with that? Like, why is that? The problem is with the actual play call itself. To me, is I don't know why that's the call there, and it was game blouses when that happened.
I think my frustration is there was, and Browns fans, you don't want to hear this today. I know you don't want. There's a lot of good in that game. I thought Shador in the first half had the best half of, I think, any quarterback that I can think of. Like, in terms of him doing what Kevin wanted to do, mm-hmm. while also making a big play or two, like, that's the way that should look with the way Kevin wants it done. So that was a lot of good. Carson Schwesinger, that guy's a hell of a football player.
Even within,
player.
Like, Shador, they didn't make any adjustments off of that. Like, did you hear any of Judkins in the post game? Like, Judkins, it was outstanding. He's like, yeah, so in the first half, they just went with their four-man front. They didn't do any blitzes, weren't aggressive at all in any sort of way. And so that's why I had a lot of carries. And then in the second half, where they had all 40 rushing yards the entire half, Judkins is like, yeah, they put 8 and 9 guys in the box. They completely changed, and they kept going back to me.
Well,
it's like, okay, like, shouldn't you have to alter your approach? You see, Saleh almost set him up in order to have that poor second half the way that they did.
Not just that. In the first half, you weren't just running on first and second down. You were passing on first down and then running on second down. You were mixing it up, and then it felt like in the second half they said, all right, we're going back to running on first and second down.
Here's the problem, is that the drive right before the half that we discussed, still in the first half, that was 9 straight running plays before Shador threw the ball to Harold Fannin. 9 straight, Nick. 9 straight running plays.
Is that not good?
That's not balanced football, I'll tell you that much. It was like right at the spot where the broadcast crew was like, hey, they've been on a really balanced game between the run and the pass. They just decided to completely eject from the pass button.
216-474-0092. That game was a much more competitive game that was blown wide open by a couple of coaching gaffes in the second half. And that's the stuff. That's like the third or fourth time that I can say that, where in a game where I'll let players make mistakes, I'll let Corley make mistakes, I'll let Larvadane make mistakes, I don't want my own coaching staff to crack open a game and just give it to the other team.
Yeah, but this is the Stefanski special.
This year,
it's like kind of like a lunch menu, the Stefanski special. I'll order that one. It's the one where you continually show us different ways to not only just fail and put teams in awful situations. I don't know how he does it. Seriously, every game it feels like we're in, he finds some new way to just vomit all over his shoes. It's incredible.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.